So open your Bibles this afternoon to 1 Kings chapter 10. And if you may remember from last week, we saw that Solomon was built the temple, and he dedicated the temple in a beautiful prayer to God. And God appeared to him a second time in 1 Kings 9. First time to set him apart, and then now to encourage him to live for the glory of God. And so Solomon, the chapters 9 and 10 are about Solomon's great blessings and the glories of his kingdom, the riches of his kingdom, the wisdom that Solomon was given as a gift from God, and how it influenced the world around him. He was the epitome of the other king. He was the highest, I guess, example, I should say, of the kings of the world. They looked to Solomon and his glory and envied him. And they also feared him because of the mighty kingdom he built and the armies that he ruled over and controlled, as well as the riches, the gold, the silver, the gems, the buildings, the horses, the chariots, all these things that Solomon accumulated as king of Israel. But in 1 Kings chapter 10, after God had reminded him of the covenant with David and David's sons, we find that someone came to see all the glories of Solomon. And so let's read in 1 Kings 10, beginning at verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, that is, hidden by God from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, and therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave Solomon. And also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a very great number of almug trees, precious stones, and the king made of the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. Such almug trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. And Solomon, King Solomon, gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she requested. besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. And then she turned and went to her own land together with her servants. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand this historical narrative of the Queen of Sheba coming to see the glories of Solomon as an earthly king. Help us to understand what she was seeking in her heart and how she received answers and the wisdom of God from Solomon and how it affected her, O Lord. And I pray that you would help us to understand more how we should be affected when we see in the pages of Scripture the glories, the goodness, the love, the humility, the self-denial, the sacrifice, the power of Christ in his death and resurrection, and the truth that he has ascended forever, ruling the entire universe for the good of his church, his people. Help us to believe that we may praise, that we may give thanks, that we may sing, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, and mean it. So forgive us of our sins and dullness of heart and mind sometimes. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would illumine our minds with fresh views of the great love of Jesus for sinners, of the humility and humiliation of his death, but also of the power and hope that is in his resurrection from the dead and ascension on high. Help us to believe the truth and be filled with thanksgiving and obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When God appeared to Solomon in chapter 9, you can just turn the page back, probably in your Bible, and look at 1 Kings 9, verses 3. What did the Lord say to Solomon after he finished building the temple and praying this beautiful prayer in chapter 8 of dedication of the temple to God? 1 Kings 9:3, the Lord said to him, I've heard your prayer and your supplication which you've made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually, the heart of God. As for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. Just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. So here we see that God transferred to David and now to Solomon the responsibility of keeping the Sinai covenant, not just to the people, but now to one person in his headship over the people, the king who covenanted with God to love him and to obey his commandments. You can read in Deuteronomy chapter 17, what God required of a king of Israel, a future king of Israel, and that God now placed his emphasis upon the king's behavior, the king's obedience, and the king's rule over the people for good. So Solomon must rule as God said, or else destruction would come to all of Israel for his behavior. So after he built the temple and his house and the house of the forest of Lebanon in Jerusalem, God reminded him of these responsibilities. And God also blessed him. He blessed the works of Solomon so much that other countries brought tribute to Solomon, gold and silver and jewels and goods and trade and all kinds of things brought to him to as tribute to him to make sure that they could keep having trade with him, but also that he would not attack them and destroy them. And so his reputation and his power had spread throughout the Mediterranean basin, which was all the world that they knew at that time. And other kings were jealous of him. And the stories that were heard about him and the power of his kingdom and his horses from Egypt and the 12,000 chariots and the 1,400 horsemen that he had, all of these great things in riches and power and glory and wealth, the temple itself which gleamed in the sun, all of this brought a respect to Solomon that even David had not acclaimed, had experienced at that time. And his kingdom existed from the Euphrates River almost to what was then the Chaldeans or the Assyrian borders, all the way down to the Brook of Egypt. And so Solomon built the greatest kingdom in the history of Israel. And it was safe and it was prosperous. And we will see further how far that went and what the Queen of Sheba thought about that. So God blessed the works of Solomon. Gold, silver, spices, jewels poured in. In 1 year, he gathered 666 talents of gold into his coffers. Now, how much is that? One talent is what we would call 160 pounds. And each pound has 16 ounces to it. So the worth and valuation in today's terms, in the value of gold that he drew into his coffers, just of gold, not of trade and goods that he made profits on from all the kingdoms around that area, the building and everything that he did was $3.4 billion a year just in gold. And so he was considered the richest king in the known world at that time. And his kingdom and his armies were respected as the strongest armies that you dare not offend and attack. And the way he administered his kingdom was a model for other kings of efficiency and accomplishment of everything he desired to do. He was in every way the epitome of a glorious king. Now, the Queen of Sheba was, as best we can tell, an Arab country down on the lower part of the Arabia Peninsula, had heard of Solomon and all his glory and riches and wisdom and fame, and possibly through the trade routes that were going on at that time, where Solomon had trade routes all down into Arabia and down to the Red Sea and so forth, she perhaps heard of that. And so she... It says in 1 Kings 10:1, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So her coming to Solomon was not just about his genius as a king in administration of his kingdom, or as a military leader of his armies, or one who accumulated great riches, buildings that were glorious in the ancient world at that time. She wasn't just curious about all his riches and wisdom. She had heard about Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. So she had a spiritual interest in her heart when she sought out Solomon. Now in Sheba worshiped the gods of Baal and Ashtoreth, or some form of them. And so the gods of Sheba were fertility gods. Sacrifices were made to them for the fertility of the lands, as well as the conception of babies, especially male babies. And the worship of the Baal and the Ashtaroth at their temple all over the ancient world included immoral worship of the worst kind. And that was her concept of God. But she heard about this God, the name of this God of King Solomon, and how he was blessed in so many ways, even above the kingdom of Sheba, of which she was queen. And so her curiosity, her desire to know more about this God who made this king so great, filled her, and she began a caravan all the way up to Solomon. And she brought gold and spices and jewels and many other things in tribute to Solomon, and in hopes that he would give her wisdom about ruling a kingdom and answer all her questions about the name of the Lord. And she had many questions in her heart. So this is a woman who is not only seeking some kind of experience to see the greatness of some part of the world, but she had questions in her heart about her own soul, about the truth of her gods. And she had heard about this other God, and she did what she could to seek the knowledge of that God and understand it. Do you do that? You know, it's impossible in this life to fully understand all that is God, to understand just his attribute of a perfect justice, so that in all of his providential acts in this world, at the last it will be seen, he was perfectly righteous and just in everything he ordained in this life for you and everyone else. That's amazing. To sound the depths of the compassion and pity of God toward a stubborn sinner like you and me, destined for hell, deservingly, because of our own sins, and then to begin to understand more about a God who was of mercy and of kindness and of forgiveness and eternal life. Do you seek to know more of those things, more of God himself and the blessings that he brings to us through the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Well, this woman had a spiritual desire to have her heart answered, and she would let nothing stop her till she got the answer. We cannot grow lazy and complacent in the Christian life in learning about Jesus, about who he is and what he's like and what he did and why he did it and how he loved us and how he gave himself and how far he humiliated himself and humbled himself to suffer the things we will never suffer because he loved us. There are so many things. If we spent the rest of our life just reading the Bible all the day, every day, we would never discover all the things of God. But this woman would let nothing stop her. Maybe somebody here has been thinking about Christ and who is he? I've got to figure that out. I need to know if it's true, because if it's true, I need to come to him. If it's not, I need to just quit plaguing myself with a false truth, a false religion. But I encourage you to keep seeking the truth, because as we heard today, those who seek shall find. Those who keep seeking, who keep knocking, shall find. They shall find a God that will help them to know and understand the truth. So, she had many questions, and what I'd like to do this afternoon, the rest of our time, is look at what she heard and saw in Solomon's kingdom. Second, consider her reaction to what she saw of Solomon and his kingdom and his wisdom and all of these things. And third, what does this mean for us today? So first, the wisdom, the wealth, and glory of Solomon. Verse 3 says, "And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king." In other words, God did not hinder his thinking and wisdom to give answer to her questions. And this shows that all the wisdom of Solomon came from God. And even in his in the activity of answering questions, that God helped him to give a full answer that was true. So he answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. So it appears that Solomon, under the inspiration of God, explained what? Well, she came to see the Solomon who worshiped the name of the Lord. And that's what Solomon taught her. The wisdom of Solomon was not just a few proverbs that are good to know. That if you don't work, you won't eat. That if you are not kind to others, they will not be kind to you. That be careful on your words, lest you bring great offense and greater quarrels. All of these Proverbs of Solomon are based upon the Ten Commandments and an expansion and application of those commandments to the certain circumstances of life for men and women, young men, young women, children, kings, workers, husbands, wives, parents, children. All these Proverbs of Solomon that are inspired of God as applications of the Ten Commandments in our lives, Solomon taught her. But that's not all he taught her. It appears that Solomon also taught her the name of the Lord and all the works that the Lord had done to bring Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, how he established Israel in the land through the judges and Saul and David. And this would include the giving of the law at Sinai. So he taught her the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, that this is the moral law of God for all peoples, not just Israel. I believe he taught her the meaning of the tabernacle and the temple that he had just dedicated, the blood sacrifices, the burnt offerings, where lambs and bulls and goats were offered up to God in blood atonement for the forgiveness of sins, as well as the sacrifices of praise to God for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, part of the one of the things that amazed her is that not only did she see Solomon in his power and glory upon his throne, but she saw him humbly walking up to the temple, the stairs from his house to the temple, to humble himself because of his sins and offer sacrifices to God for forgiveness. This impressed her greatly, that one so great would humble himself that far as to confess sins and to seek forgiveness from the Lord God of Israel through sacrifice. And so I believe that Solomon taught her all about the name of the Lord and all that had happened up to that day that we have in the scriptures. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, King David, and now Solomon, that God had been faithful to his word and that he received sinners through blood sacrifice to himself. but also he showed her the glories of his kingdom, the physical glories. One particularly that interests me is his throne. Now he had, from all the gold that he'd received, over 500 shields of gold on display in the house of the forest of Lebanon, which was actually right there in the temple compound and where he did a lot of business. And it had pillars of the cedars of Lebanon and very much and wood floors of cedar and so forth to bring all this glory. And he put 500 shields, some of which were about this high, that would cover a man completely, on display in that house to show his riches and his glory. And so she saw all the vessels of the food that he ate in his kingdom and in his household at his meals were solid gold. There was no silver because silver was not worth much in those days. But his guests and even the servants that he had sit at his table only had gold utensils, gold cups to drink from, gold plates to eat on. And she said, everyone seems so happy. Surely this people is a happy people with the prosperity and the wisdom of Solomon ruling their lives. And then she saw the throne in verses 18 through 20. And just if you can imagine this, how this throne was built, it's one of those things that's just awesome. It speaks of power and wealth. And in verse 18 it says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with refined gold. A throne of ivory overlaid with fine gold, refined gold. There were six steps to the throne and a round top to the throne at its rear, and arms on each side of the seat, and two lions standing beside the arms. 12 lions, each representing one of the tribes of Israel, 12 lions were standing there on the six steps, on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. Gold and ivory and these steps, these figures of lions to illustrate the power of the Lion of Judah, and that kings need to pay attention to his wealth and power because he was not to be trifled with in his power. So the Queen of Sheba saw all these things, and the vessels of wine, the thousands of horses from Egypt, the chariots I've already mentioned, and the horsemen, the thousands of horsemen, all these things she heard and was so overwhelmed that she was emotionally spent and in awe of such a great king. It says the spirit went out of her because she saw the amazing greatness of this king and the wealth far beyond her imagination and the blessings of the kingdom which she had not experienced in her own kingdom and the effect upon the people of such a great king who cared for them and took care of them, that there was no spirit left in her. She was emotionally spent and in awe of such a great king. So how did she respond in words to what she had seen? Things that God had blessed Solomon with. When Solomon prayed for God to give him wisdom, God also gave him wealth and power. Well, second, she responded to this glorious and amazing sight of Solomon and his wisdom and riches and power with praise. 1 Kings 10:6. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I have heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you in the throne, on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. That's the whole history of Israel, Solomon told her, how he chose Israel. Therefore, he made you king. Now, what's a king to do? To do justice and righteousness. She was overwhelmed at his justice, his righteousness, his wisdom, his riches, his kindness to her, his kindness to his servants, providing every need of theirs, protecting them from the enemies that wanted to conquer this kingdom and destroy his kingdom. Her awe of Solomon, in all of these things, God moved her heart to praise him. And in praising him, she understood that it was not Solomon himself, but the Lord God of Solomon, who had blessed him so and made him king. And so she gave to Solomon all the riches that she brought, but she also gave him praise and praised the God of Israel because she was so moved in heart at what she had seen and heard. I believe that she became a believer in the God of Israel. By the time she went back to her land, she had been, in what we would say, converted. And there are even some legends that she helped bring the gospel to Ethiopia, which is one of the oldest churches in history. So by the time she went back to her land, she was a witness to what she had seen. And she could not help but tell her kingdom what she had seen, and about the God of Israel, who had given all these things to Solomon and made him a great king and gave him such a great kingdom through his power, God's power and wisdom given to him. Jesus said that the Queen of Sheba would be a witness against the scribes and Pharisees about the God of Israel, and would condemn them for rejecting Jesus. Matthew 12:42, the queen of the south, that is Sheba, will rise up with this generation, Jesus said, at the judgment, and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Think about that. All the glories of Solomon, all the riches, all the power, the envy of the earth and of the kings of the earth. And here this humble teacher tells the Pharisees and the scribes that as they look at him, something greater than Solomon is here. He's the greatest person in the world and in history. There is no one who has more love and kindness and mercy towards sinners and delights to bring them to a new life of forgiveness and eternal life and a life now of happiness and joy in believing. There's no one in the universe who has ever lived that is more great than this person. No king, no general, no religious leader than Jesus Christ, the Lord. And if we would view him rightly and understand his greatness and seek him out and seek the riches of the blessings and the gifts that he has given to us in His blood and righteousness and in the eternal life that He's planning before us, we would be moved to praise and awe. Our spirit would be done and undone with praise and adoration and wonder at how one so great would care so much for those who deserve so little. What a great king. What a great kingdom He has built. Greater than riches and gold and silver and jewels and almug trees and everything else that seemed to be counted as wealth in that ancient world. Jesus Christ the Lord, more wise than Solomon and actually giving His wisdom, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, to Solomon so that he could be wise and build the kingdom. We do not come to a religion of works righteousness and slavery to a God. We come to a God who is so great that He did not have to deliver us. He did not have to save us. His justice would have been just if He had left Adam and Eve in hell. But He let them live to find compassion and pity. He let us live in a dark world that's because everyone's a sinner just like we are, to find light and life and happiness and grace in the face of Jesus Christ. What can we learn from the Queen of Sheba about her praise and thanksgiving for Solomon? We can learn this. Something greater than Solomon is here. He is so worthy to be loved and admired. To suspicion Him of trying to put us in some kind of test that is a punishment to us is unworthy of one so kind and gracious. To think that He is a God who only punishes sinners in hell and not recognize that a multitude that no man can number will stand before Him one day. From this earth, billions will stand before Him and declare the glory of His name, the wonder of His forgiveness and love, the cost of His blood on the cross, and the power of His resurrection that brings them there in His presence. They will stand before Him and say, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. Not the half of it was told me. But thankfully in heaven, our spirit will never go out of us. Forever and ever, we will look into the face of perfect kindness, perfect goodness, perfect love, compassion, forgiveness. One who loves to bless, one who desires to bless, one who has already humbled himself to the point of death for someone like you and me to make us the children of God, deserves all the praise and adoration that we can give. Solomon was rich in gold and silver and horses and houses and power. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you, through His poverty, may become rich." That's what grace is. That was what was in His heart before the foundation of the world, when the Father planned the redemption of sinners like you and me, and the Son, and He asked the Son to be that substitute, that atonement, that sacrifice that would bring us safely back to God. And He gladly accepted His Father's will, and on earth accomplished it to His own death. Look at Him now on His eternal throne, greater than Solomon's throne, greater than Solomon's wisdom. Revelation 7:9, After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who have clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more. Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God himself, will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What a glorious king. What a glorious throne. Our hearts don't have the power or the words to give due to what he is and what he's done for us, but he calls us to do so, to praise him, to thank him, to humble ourselves before him, to recognize the incredible sacrifice and suffering that he endured upon the cross to atone for just one of our sins, much less the multitudes of them that each of us have that cause us to be undone before a holy God, but for him saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." What a king to love and worship. Do you see him there now? Is he not more glorious than Solomon? The king who became the Lamb of God for your soul's forgiveness, your daily love and care, preparing a place to see him face to face and tell him all that our hearts could never say on earth in our prayers and in our worship. Oh, praise him for his love, for his undeserved grace, his cross, his resurrection, his exaltation, now ruling all things and upholding all things by the word of his power. How could such a glorious king as this love someone like we are, like I am? Praise him for his love, his undeserved word of power, his undeserved grace, excuse me. Upholding all things for our good, causing now in the universe all things to work together for the good of every Christian who loves him and seeks to follow him. No matter what they think or think they see, their providence is surrounded by the love and blood of Christ to bring them to eternal glory, unharmed and complete. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, thank him, love him, follow him as the best thing that can exist in this present world, in this life. Greater than all recreations and politics and jobs, greater than even having perfect health and wealth. Praise him as the only and exclusive riches of this life that will last into eternity. and bless him. And if you love him, keep his commandments. Obey him. Quit fiddling around with sins you know are sins, but they seem to be little and don't matter that big much. But to God, they all matter. Our thoughts, our words, our feelings, our deeds. Do they conform to the love of God in the Ten Commandments and the love of one's neighbor in the Ten Commandments? Do they conform to the great new commandment of Jesus? Love one another as I first loved you. Believe in him. Believe in him all the time. Believe that he's preparing a place for you and is coming again to gather you to his own bosom in eternal glory and joy, either when your body dies in this life or when he returns in glory, to take you to his side, to take you into his presence, to tell you of his love for you and of his gladness to shed his blood for you and to prepare a place for you where you can rest, where you can enjoy, where you can have love, where you can see all that are happy to be in this king's presence and kingdom. Does all of this make you want to say to Jesus what the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon? Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half of it was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I had heard. How blessed are your men. Blessed are those your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." If she could say that to an earthly king whose glories faded away and now are ruins, how much more should we say such things to the one who loved us and gave himself up for us? Because he loved us. Come to Jesus Christ, and he will receive sinners and forgive them and grant them eternal life. But come again every day, continually come, and believe that one greater than Solomon is here, who loves you greater than any earthly man or woman could. Be satisfied in the love of God the Son, that you may have peace and give thanks for every single blessing that he has given you on this earth, and especially for the hope that he's given you, that he did rise from the dead and he ascended to heaven and he is preparing a place for you and me, sinners who deserve nothing but his wrath, but to whom he has granted the gift of grace and eternal life in Jesus Christ through faith in him. Come to him and believe the truth that the half of it has not been told you yet, but you shall see it soon, very soon. Let us pray. Father, help us to worship you in spirit and truth, with joy and thanksgiving, with amazement and wonder and awe at such love that you gave your Son on our behalf. What wondrous love is this? And we pray that you would help us as we leave this worship time to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead every day, and to believe that we live in Christ by faith alone, in His kingdom and rule and care and love and power. And help us to give thanks always and to praise Him for His goodness, that we may have our minds set on Him instead of the things and people of this world, and bring glory to Him with humble lives that are just thankful for grace. We pray in Jesus' name.